Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
I'd like you to turn, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be just talking a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit, not individually necessarily, but in general, because I think it's part of our focus this year of talking about serving the Lord. And there's so much to serving the Lord and in depth. Things you can, I mean, you can get into things so deep that you can go mad. In fact, I think Apostle Paul was considered mad because he knew so much about Jesus Christ. But anyway, one of the things that I want to emphasize this morning that I hope will encourage you and maybe change some of your thinking that has been about serving Jesus Christ. And let me begin by saying this. We have had a misconception a long time. Preachers have been unfair a lot of times toward folks in the congregation, because many times preachers have used that attempt to make people feel guilty because they're not doing enough for Jesus Christ. Have you ever felt that way? Ever had a preacher make you feel that way? I have when I was a young Christian, and then I realized, wait a second, just because I'm not preaching as a pastor or I'm not teaching a class, or I'm not doing whatever things, does not mean I'm not serving the Lord. And one of the things I want to emphasize this morning, and I want to really have it burning in your heart. In fact, I want the Holy Spirit to bring this to fire in your spirit, that there are many things that we do as Christians that are exactly what God wants us to do. And I hope to touch on a couple things that will hopefully encourage you this morning, because not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be an orator or a preacher. Not everybody's called to teach. Not everybody's called to do some of these things. But we're all called. Hello? We're all called to do something for Jesus Christ. And it may just be one major thing that God has you do in your lifetime because you have been faithful to Him and you've lived the example of a Christian and your life has been an evangel to everyone around you. That may be it. And He may direct your life to one person that you can touch and minister to and affect for the kingdom. And that person may go on to win thousands and thousands of people to Jesus Christ. You just don't know what it is that God has called you to do. And I'm convinced that a lot of our calling and what to do has to do with who we are. And I hope to touch on that a little bit this morning and hopefully have you walking out of the house of God feeling that God is not displeased with us. How have you ever felt? I've always had this guilt trip from time to time. I'm not doing enough of this. I'm not praying enough. I'm not, pounding on doors. I'm not walking the beat. I'm not doing this kind of stuff as much as I'd like to. And so we have a tendency to want to, condemn ourselves for not being as useful to the kingdom or Christ as we would like to be. And that's not what service is about. Service, in some respects, may be mandatory. God requires us to live holy. And as we serve Him, live in a particular way that He wants us to live. And He wants us to live in a way that is not necessarily the opposite of the world, because much of what we live is exactly the same world. I go to work, I put food on the table, my wife eats the food, and so forth. And you do the same. And so do I. I eat the same food. But my point is, I fulfill my responsibility, and that's a large part of what God calls us to do. But in the addition to that, there's much that the Holy Spirit uses us for and wants to use us for to accomplish things for His kingdom, and He does so on the basis of who you are. And when I say that, it has everything to do with your whole life experience. Still with me? Everything you've gone through in your life prior to Christ, including receiving Christ, and after becoming a Christian. Every bit of your life God uses to be a ministry vehicle for the kingdom of God. To minister first to your family, second to the family of God, And third, to the lost and dying world. Those are the three avenues which God moves through your life. And every human being that becomes a Christian, every Christian, should have some effort of that going on in their life. You should be used in ministering to your family. You should be a good witness to your children and to your nephews and to your brothers and sisters and parents. And you should be a good witness. And so that's part of your ministry, is to live Christ out before your family. The second thing is, of course, live out Christ with a community of believers, you and I in the church. God invented the church to be the place where people of God gather together to become a family, the family of God, participants in the kingdom of God. And then thirdly, we're called upon to reach a lost and dying world who, at one time, you were one of those people, and as Paul says, you once were this, but you are no longer this, and now you're the house, but your responsibility is to shine that same light that you shine to your family and to the church, to the world. Amen? And it's a very interesting point because you can't shine to the world what you don't possess in the church. And you can't shine in the church what you don't possess in your personal life. Amen? That's why we get upset when preachers turn into be hypocrites and they fail God and they fall short of what God wants them to do. We want to shake a fist at them and point a finger at them that these guys are, man, they're supposed to be Christians and look at them, look what they're doing and all these kinds of things. And we want to nail that guy in the church when in actuality the church should be the face of Christ. Whether it's the leadership in the church or people in the pews or people outside in your home and that aren't Christians and people that aren't Christians outside in the world, we should be showing them what the real image of Christ is about. And it's not all evangelism. A lot of it has to do with just living out your life, but living it out with the help of the Holy Spirit. Is that making any sense to you? Amen? Now I want to read about the gifts of the Holy Spirit because I want to let that be one of the focuses as an illustration. I want to use the scripture as an illustration of what I'm talking about because I want you to get the full flavor of what serving Jesus Christ is. And it's not always being a missionary somewhere or a pastor somewhere. Sometimes it's just living next door to a cranky old guy and living out Christ in front of him. Hello? Anybody got cranky guys living next door? Okay, in the book of 1 Corinthians, we're going to be right there where the spiritual gifts are in chapter 12. And I want to read a little bit to you. And I want this to be an illustration. And I can't read all of this because I don't have time to do that, but I want to get a point across. And I want to have time to pray at the end of this service for God to bless you and help you understand how your gifts are operating in your life. Is that making sense at all? Okay, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And he's talking to a church that was ignorant, okay? You study the church at Corinth for yourself. I don't have time to explain all that. But you study it and you'll discover that he's talking to a church that doesn't have a clue of how to operate in the Spirit or let the Holy Spirit operate in their church. You know that you were Gentiles. Now he's given a legitimate excuse. You were Gentiles who knew nothing about God. Carried away with your dumb idols, even as you were led by that service to those dumb idols. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed. Okay? The Spirit of God is never going to have you say anything derogatory toward the Lord. You know that if you're saying things, or anyone you know is saying things derogatory toward the Lord, it's certainly not under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Spirit does not prompt us to go against himself or against the Lord. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost or by the Spirit. Amen? You cannot call Jesus Christ your Lord, and he cannot be your Lord unless the Holy Spirit has already done a work in your life. Amen? And so with that in understanding, he's about to take you another step deeper in an understanding of your relationship to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts. Just let me take a second here. Everybody here has gifts. Some of you are great cooks. Some of you are great hunters. Some of you are great in different talents of mechanics, carpenters, contractors, policemen, all kinds, farmers, ranchers, teachers, all kinds of vocations we have here are talents. Some of those talents have to do with what was already in you, what you already possessed, a talent or a bent toward that skill, okay? That is a gift that came innately. That came when you were born, your genes and your chromosomes got together and said, we're going to make this guy like to be a carpenter, okay? And so forth. And so you have these natural tendencies and things that are a part of who you are. I can't think of Ken without thinking about vacuum cleaners. You know what I'm saying? Or cattle, or things like that. I can't think of some of you without thinking of your vocation. In fact, many times, let me ask you this. If you've ever been to a class reunion, anybody ever been to their class reunions? About every 10 years? When you went to the 10-year class reunion, most of the time you spent talking to your classmates was to tell them how cool you were at being I'm a contractor. I build things. Or I'm a rancher. And I you may only have one cow, but you tell them you're a rancher, amen? You follow what I'm saying? So the first 10th year, your 10-year class reunion, you're trying to impress each other with your great talent and ability that you have developed over the last 10 years. And then when it gets to be about 20-year class reunion, you pretty much have forgotten who cares about what I do. I'm here. Just be glad I'm here, and it's good to see you again. And when 30 year, it begins to degenerate even from that point on. By the time you get to your 40 or 50th class reunion, you're just lucky to be able to walk into the building. Amen? Let alone recognize, and you know you don't recognize the people because they have drastically changed. Of course, you still look like you were in high school. They have looked, you know, in your mind, you're thinking these things. But the whole experience there is talents that you've developed over your lifetime. Those are skills that you have an innate bent toward. And there are some people here this morning, let me give you another example, that can play instruments that were born with musical talent. It's in them. They picked up a string and they started thumping it or blew a horn, and it was just natural for them to move into the music because it was innately as part of the talents that they had. Now, those talents are all well and good, and they're fun, and they're operative, and there's all kinds of other skills that you can teach yourself that may be part of what your bent is. And then you can also go beyond that and teach yourself skills or learn skills that aren't necessarily part of your bent, but you learned them because of what you wanted to do. I may learn to fly an airplane because I want to be able to fly from here to there quicker and get there quicker or whatever. So I can learn that skill, but I can also, with a learned skill, use that for the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? So I wasn't born flying, but I learned to fly, and it was part of my bent because I loved airplanes. But my point is that there are a lot of things that are just already there, and what most Christians don't realize is that's the rudimentary elements, gifts, talents that God really begins to use. So if you know how to play a guitar, it's a logical step into worship, isn't it? You follow what I'm saying? And so God may use talents that you've already got, and then he may add talents to you, and then there may be talents you learn on your own to enhance your work for or your help for or service to the king. Amen? And so there are things that I've learned that have to do with doing things for the kingdom that have nothing to do with other things that I do, but they're part of talents that I've either learned or have been a part innately of who I am. And that's what makes us unique. Do you realize that? You are a unique person. You are different than everybody else on the planet. Now, how does God do that? There's not another person that has these fingerprints. And that's how, you know, when I was a thief, that they caught me. Anyway, my point is, you're so unique that God wants to take the innate things that he's already planted and they're already part of your genetics. He wants to use them and make them fundamental foundation for what he wants to use in your life. Some of you are natural counselors. Some of you are natural encouragers. Some of you by nature are hospitable to people and friendly to people and outgoing. Some of you have those kinds of personality traits that make it very beneficial to the kingdom if you give them to Jesus Christ to use. Make sense now? And so you are so unique that you may have a blend of all of these other talents and still be able to use all of that for the kingdom of God. In fact, that's what Paul encourages Timothy to study the word so he knows how to use the word. But studying the word isn't the only thing. Learn the congregation. Learn what they like. Learn the things that you can use to help minister to them on a personal level. Amen? Okay, let me read a little bit more of the scripture, and I'm going to use it further as evidence of God equipping us. There are things that we can equip ourselves with, the natural talents that we have. And those can be applied to the kingdom of God. So we have those natural talents. But the Holy Spirit, who has in mind something for us down the road of service, He has in mind a particular thing for your life, a purpose for your life. And in that process, He wants to equip you for that. And some of you may think that some of the things you've experienced in life, because He uses your whole life, you may think that these things that I've gone through, they don't have any meaning or purpose in the kingdom or have any meaning for anything except for just giving me a hard time. But actually, God is using your whole life, including your talents, to accomplish a purpose that He has in mind. Hello? And I'm hoping that you want to do what the Lord wants you to do. Anybody? Anybody want to do what God wants them to do? This is the process. This is how God does this. This is what God is doing in your life to get you to this place where He can do some interesting things. And as far as your family is concerned, that's a very personal thing. You need to grow yourself to do that. I don't have a right to tell you how to do your family, but I do have some suggestions out of the Scripture that would help you. But as far as the church is concerned, it's very important that you come to know what God has equipped you with. And He tells us that the church is equipped with some gifts, with some talents, with some abilities. And that these gifts, and this isn't the only list of gifts. There's Ephesians and Romans that list other gifts. And there's other single gifts listed out through the New Testament that will help you also understand that there's more that you can do in service to the King by letting Him equip you and then being willing to do what God wants you to do. Isn't that what we're searching for? God, I come to expose myself for You to enrich my life so that I can be of some meaning and purpose for the kingdom of God. I want to be meaningful to the kingdom of God because I know, as we heard in the last sermon, I know that being meaningful to the kingdom of God makes me significant. I find my significance and my purpose in what I do for Jesus Christ. Now, that may be coupled with what you do as a vocation or what your responsibilities may be at home. But nevertheless, He plants gifts in the church for a reason. And I like it because He does it in a way that everybody can participate. Now, I know that we have this idea that Chuck Kelly's the only one that can give a prophecy in this church or a word of wisdom. It seems to be he's the only one the last few weeks has spoken. Oh, wait a second. I've heard Sue do that now and then. Oh, well, wait a second. Let me read the Scripture and see if that's biblical. Can I read that? Let's see what it says. Now, there are diversities of gifts, all kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. We understand that the Spirit of God is the administrator, don't we? Because if we think we're the administrator, we're going to get into big trouble. Hello? We're going to get into big trouble because then we're going to get a big head thinking, oh, I'm the greatest Christian to walk the planet because God uses me in this gift. And then you get these big pictures about 3 foot by 5 foot of yourself and call yourself Devil Disturbing Williams or whatever you want to call yourself because you have this gift. That's not the way it works, folks, and I don't care who's going to want to disagree with me, but this is the way I read it. It is the Spirit that is the administrator of the gifts. Now, He may use you more commonly or most often in a particular gift, but that does not make you exclusive owner of that gift in any given church. Fellow? For the same thing Chuck does, any of you can do if you're filled with the Spirit. Hello? Is that making any sense? Are you still with me? So service to the Lord is being open and willing to let the Holy Spirit administer His gifts through you. Hello, hello, hello. Any one of us filled with the Spirit can be used as the Spirit desires to. In fact, if I keep reading, and I will, this Scripture describes many of the gifts that He may operate. The unfortunate thing is that we oftentimes, because we only hear the verbal gifts, that we don't often pay attention to the other gifts. Oh, we like a word of wisdom, and we like a word of knowledge. We like someone to speak in tongues and someone to interpret that so that I'll understand what God is saying to me. We want that. Those are all visible. But there's other gifts that are not as visible. There are other gifts that God uses you in that have nothing to do with the church administration type of gifts or these particular gifts, ministry gifts. And so there are other types of gifts. If you're a person like Vera May, who knows how to cook, put it together, or Annie, or any of you ladies that know how to cook, and you have a talent for putting the little dinners together, and you have a gift of hospitality, that's just as legitimate a gift as any gift that's listed in this 12th chapter of the book of Corinthians. And here's what I'm getting at is the most important point that I want to make about all of this, and I'll make it now and probably many times after this, but here's the point that I'm making. No one gift is more important than the other. Are you with me? So we can be the groundskeeper. That may be a talent. You're really good with keeping ground, mowing lawns, raking leaves, painting buildings, whatever. We can do those things. And they're just as legitimate a gift of God and just as legitimate a work for the kingdom, just as legitimate service for Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? And so one of the things that I want to get across to you is this. Paul spends a great deal of time describing a body. And different, your eyes and your hands and your ears and whatever else to describe the body. All of them make up the body. I'm not just a living ear. And those are in sci-fi movies, hello? I'm not just a living eyeball. You know, I saw one about 1950s. They didn't have as much imagination as we have today. And the monster was a big eye, you know. And I thought, well, that's a little weird. But anyway. My point is, if we ever become a church where we're focused on only one issue or one talent or one gift, we are going to be a very shallow church. I want the image of this church, the reflection of this church, the light, the face that this church gives to the world and to each other is one that displays a balanced move of all these gifts. So that every single one can feel the significance and importance of doing something for Jesus Christ. Now, listen, let me give you some examples. Who would have thought that grandma's old hobby of making quilts for the family, because we all together sleep together in one big feather bed, at least according to John Denver, I think that was the song he sang about grandma's feather bed, and it was so deep and the kids would get lost in it, you know. The whole family's in there, but you don't even know it because it's so big and deep. Who would have thought that making quilts would be ministry? But this church has made quilts. Ladies in the Quiltinator ministry have made quilts as a blessing to the mission and a blessing to other groups of people that are, you know, kids that are taken out of homes and stuff like that. Get quilts. I want to tell you something about that. I went to Applebee's restaurant the other night. Are you still with me? I know it's getting close to what's after lunch, so you're thinking food, so it's going to be a great illustration. So I'm at Applebee's with my wife, and we like to kind of go and have a special night now and then together. And so we're at Applebee's, and I've ordered, and I'm gobbling, and I've got wiping up and all that kind of stuff off my chin sleeve and whatever. And I had some. Does anybody eat French onion soup with a big crouton and cheese on melt on top? It's awesome. It is very, very good. And so I'd ordered my dinner and I'd ordered a side thing of that French onion soup there, and it came just real good. And this person sets it down because she comes from behind me and sets this down, and says, "This is a soup for Gary Connor, I think, isn't it?" And that didn't even dawn on me. It hit my wife immediately who it was. And it was Jody's daughter that used to come here. And she's a waitress there. And so we got to talking to her. And she, Vera, you're going to like this. In fact, you might want to hold on to the wheels there because you're going to get excited about this. But she's telling us that she wanted to come back down to the church and visit us whenever she could possibly do that. And she got to talking about what her memories were of the church, and that when she was younger, that the Quiltinators had made a quilt for her and gave it to her, and she still has the quilt, and she will not go to bed without her quilt with her. Huh? Is that cool or what? So you just never know what talents you've got are going to be used by God to minister to people. Amen? So that's just a perfect illustration. Plus, it also gave you a hint about French onion soup. But my point is this. There are designated gifts that are established in the church for the purpose of what? building up the church, encouraging people in the church. You experienced, those of you that came to this altar this morning, experienced some of that very same thing. What you may not realize is that you experienced discernments of spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and helped me discern that this need was necessary to pray about. And your response proves and confirms that that was the Holy Spirit. So the discernment of spirits was in operation. That your spirit was in need of some encouragement and some release of this journey that you've been making that is hard. It seems to be uphill both directions. All of that kind of stuff. That was the Holy Ghost. That's why I'm convinced that when we prayed, God is doing something, because He would not have singled that particular need out if He did not want to minister to it. And it's not that I lay in bed at night and imagine these things. I'm going to do some cool thing at church. I think I'm going to pray for people to do this. I'm not that smart. And so my point is this: it's very interesting to me that what happened this morning was obviously the moving of the Holy Spirit. So you were experiencing a completely different gift operating. Sensitivity of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, so a word of knowledge came to me, along with the discerning of spirits. The word of knowledge came to me to know what to pray, and that you actually had a need, and the word of wisdom comes along with that in how I prayed. Are you following what I'm talking about? And in conclusion, the Holy Spirit, who administers to everybody, ministered to you that were in this altar this morning that way. And it happens every Sunday. You may not realize this, but every person receives of God what they're willing to receive by faith every time you come here. If you come to the house of God with great anticipation, all of the talents of the other people in this church are going to help create the opportunity for you to receive whatever it is you need for your spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. And so I'm convinced that if you come to church, that pastor's the most boring guy I've ever listened to. The music's great, but that guy, he just goes on and on and on. And now I hear that the kids' church says for him to go on and on more. Oh my gosh, what's the matter with those people? So you may think those things and you come to the house of God. Guess what? You won't receive anything from Jesus. And don't tell me you will, because you won't. If you don't come with a spirit of anticipation and excitement about meeting God and God meeting you right where you're at. See, God doesn't care where you're at. He will meet you there. And He will minister to you there. And He wants to impart to you a blessing or a gift or whatever. And He wants to use you. And so if you come with the attitude, I want to get with God. I want God to use me. I want to be where God wants me to be. And I want Him to minister straight to me. And I want Him to minister through me. Has anybody ever come to church that way? I have to come that way. I'm the pastor. I got to come willingly. Sometimes my wife helps me out the door, but I come sort of willingly every Sunday to do that. But if you come anticipating, and one of the greatest proponents of that, you know, who was the one that said that first, or at least the first that I knew, and preached it almost like a doctrine, was Oral Roberts. One of the things that Oral Roberts encouraged people to do as they came to the tent or to the church or whatever, to the college, to service, come with anticipation. Anticipate what God's going to do for you in the service. You know why people are healed and people are touched and people are delivered and people are saved? Because they came with some anticipation. They may not have had full knowledge, but they came with an anticipation that, hey, I hear this guy does these things. I hear this guy prays for the sick. I hear this guy prays the blessings and prophecies over people. So they came with anticipation. Some came skeptically, like some of you this morning. What's going to happen to me? Who knows what's going to happen? But if you came with anticipation that God was going to do something today, going to do something special in my life, I'm coming to the house of God to meet with Jesus Christ so that all the atmosphere that's created, I'm going to be right there where God's Holy Spirit is pouring out the blessings, and I want to receive that. If you come with that kind of anticipation, I guarantee you God's going to touch you. If you come to the house of God not as a social event, but as a very deeply spiritual encounter with God, you're going to meet Him. And I might add to that, when you meet Him, you will never leave the same. When you walk out of these doors, you will be a different person. God never leaves you the same. Oh, you may go back to the same routine for going to work next week and all that kind of stuff. But inside here, God is not going to leave you the same. He's going to begin to move in your life. He's going to begin to push you toward areas that he wants you to develop. He's going to equip you with gifts that you need to be able to do and to live successfully. First, live successfully, then serve successfully. Hello? We were saved to serve. Amen? But in the process, he's going to be equipping us to serve. That's why I'm convinced if there's something that needs to be done in the kingdom, I believe it's your calling. If you ask me, is it God's will that I go on this short-term missionary? Guess what I'm going to say? Yes. Yes, it is. It's God's will. If there's something that needs to be done, it's God's will that you do it. If you want an answer, I'm telling you right now, doesn't matter what it is, if there's something that needs to be done and you've seen that and recognize that, I'm telling you it's God's will for you to do it. Because this is what I also believe. I have done a lot of things for the kingdom of God. I've gone on short missionary trips. I've gone on evangelistic tours and trips with a team of evangelists. I've done all these kinds of things. And this is what I've discovered. If you do whatever it is that needs to be done, you're in the will of God. Hello? The church needs painting? Get out and paint it. It's the will of God. It is the will of God. And so here's my point. What is it that you've seen? What is it that God has shown you? What is it that has been revealed to you? Some of you, it is to talk to your neighbor. We heard the story of going across town to share something with somebody. We hear all those kinds of stories. It is the will of God for you to do that. You don't have to question that. You don't have to wonder about that. You don't even have to wonder if you're equipped or skilled to be able to do that. That will be a good experience for you. Well, God told me to go down the street and talk to my neighbor, and I knocked on his door, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I started talking about Jesus, and he slammed the door in my face. It was the will of God for you to go there. Why? Because you learned that not everybody is going to be receptive to you giving the message to them. That immediately taught you that the kingdom of God is a divine appointment. It's filled with divine appointments. So when God says go down there, he may be wanting to teach you what it's like to get the door slammed in your face. So then the next time you knocked on that, you'll be ready for that. But on the next one, you may open up and the lady's standing there crying, their husband has just left her, and you're able to tell her, hey, Jesus Christ can make all things right. You follow what I'm saying? Ministry will open up, but all of your life experiences will be exactly what God uses to equip you. I mean, Quiltonators. We're going to teach people, I think if Chad has it, we're going to teach people how to can and put up preserves and whatever else, and I'll help you learn how to pickle asparagus and stuff like that so you can do that. That's a ministry. That's a ministry. And folks, I'm going to tell you, we need these things. We need each other for these kinds of things. We're going to teach you how to get out of debt. We have a financial program, Dave Ramsey's program. We teach that periodically so you can learn how to get out of debt. Why? Because we want God's people to be free. Why? So he can use you. Some of you don't go on short-term missionary trips because you can't afford it, because you're in debt so bad, you can't afford to take the time or the effort. What if you were out of debt? What if all the money you were paying on your credit cards you could use to go on a short-term missionary thing for Jesus Christ? That'd be two blessings. One, you're out of debt. And two, you're able to do something for Jesus Christ. But Pastor, I've never preached. I've never been down to Mexico to minister to people. Well, let me tell you what. It's God's will for you to. If that mission is available and you've come acquainted with that, it's God's will for you to go. The other cool thing about it is, even if you can't get the money, God will provide for you. Hello? Let me give you an example. I went out to Glead Church. Are you still with me? I'm trying to get to the point where Kids Church says we can quit. Out to the Glead, was it something Bible Church out there? Is anybody familiar with the Glead Church out there? You go by Suntides. Bible Church or something like that. Anyway, we went out there and they were putting together a short-term missionary thing down by Tecate, Mexico, and I'm not real good with Spanish, but it was Casa de... Anyway, something about a white dove, okay? I don't know how to say it. So Casa, I got that part down. Anyway, so that's where we were helping them build houses down there. We went down there. And here's the cool thing. I had the money to do it. And I was going to do it. I had my own money to go down, and it was going to cost like $400 or $500. I had the money, and I was going to do it. And I got there. But because they needed a taper so bad, they budgeted my needs into the budget. Think about that. So God, I'm telling you, if it's God's will for you to go, and it is, He'll provide for you. I felt bad. I never spent a dime. It didn't cost me anything. But I had great fun down there, and it was the family that we ministered to built that little house, and in one day, we built their house. In one day. That is cool. Even Casa de la Pluma, or whatever it was, is Pluma Blanco, had a white feathers, I don't know, whatever it is. Even they were amazed, because they had a whole group from a church in Los Angeles down there that had been there 2 weeks and hadn't got one house done. Well, of course, they were a disadvantage. We were professionals. I mean, all the guys, there's electricians, carpenters, and stuff. So we went in, and it was awesome. But my point is, I didn't know how to speak Spanish to this family, but I was there showing Christ's love to them, because we were doing it because we love the Lord, that the man who could speak Spanish led that couple to Jesus Christ. And when we handed them the key to their house and the blanket and the broom and all those things that you do when you have a housewarming, we handed it to them, they were standing there in tears. Because they had been living in actually a one-room shack. That's the best way to describe it. Dirt floor made out of cardboard and slats of wood and stuff that they'd scrounge around. And they'd built themselves a shanty house, whatever. It had one little area where you cooked in when you first went in. And it had blankets as curtains there as a door. No door, just curtains. And an earthen kind of thing there where they had this fireplace thing built, and they cooked their food on it. And they had one room for his wife and himself and his two kids in one room to sleep and whatever else. And so we built them a two-bedroom living room with a vaulted ceiling and a loft up above in one day. And they moved into it the day that we gave them all those things. And I couldn't speak a lick of Spanish except más frijoles, por favor. That part I got down. When it comes to the food part, I could get it across, you know. And so we just got blessed all kinds. But just to watch the tears in their eyes meant so much. I'm out here throwing mud. I do it every day. Throwing mud, it doesn't mean a whole lot to me. It's just, you know, getting the job done and all that kind of stuff. But when you're doing that talent for Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is administrating it, it's awesome. It makes you realize that you are unique to the kingdom. Your skills and your talents go a long ways toward touching people's lives. We're jaded. I'm going to be honest with you. In America, we're so affluent, we're jaded. We don't realize what we have, and therefore we're probably going to lose a lot of it because we don't guard the most important things. And what are the most important things? It's me, who I am, doing something for someone else in the name of Jesus Christ. I'll give you another example. I'm going to close here in a second because I think they're going to be out of the kids' church. I don't know if any of you ever go by the information desk there, but there's all kinds of information. Sometimes just spiritual things like men of valor, Promise Keeper pamphlet or whatever, daily devotional or whatever. But they also have sign-up sheets and all that kind of stuff that's on there. But there's a couple of packets back there that Chuck investigated, I think Dave did also, but for driving for the veterans. Do you know how to drive? I don't want to say because the pastor's going to make me commit. Here's my point. The opportunities are everywhere to minister for Jesus Christ. And you'll never be more fulfilled as a person than when you flow in whatever the Spirit has created in you. And it will be a blessing to the church. It'll be a blessing to your family, and it'll be a blessing to this world. You know what's going to change this world? If you come to men's meeting on Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, and sometimes breakfast afterwards, you'll hear us talk about everything under the sun that's wrong with this world, and ideas and thoughts that we agree or disagree with. And it's always fun to disagree because we get into some pretty good discussions, and that's always kind of gets your blood flowing and having fun. But when you're there, you begin to realize that there are things that are far out of our control that we have no power to change. And I think the only way things are going to change in our nation that we think are wrong or whatever, the only way they're going to change is for God's people to come alive. Come alive. Start using what talents God has used you for the kingdom. Let me tell you what God will do with your talents. Doesn't matter what your talent is, music, photography, running the camera, whatever your talent is, the ultimate goal of Jesus Christ is twofold. One, primary focus of Jesus Christ is to win people to Him, save the lost. That's the primary. And the second thing is, after they get saved, equip them and grow them to serve the kingdom. Not rocket science, is it? But it develops differently in every one of us, yet in group, it's the same thing. When you build a quilt, somebody cooks a chili dinner, somebody has a cookie feed or whatever we do. If we have the right motive, the motive is serve Jesus Christ. Ultimately, souls will get saved. They'll be equipped and they'll serve. That's what's happened to you. So my question, and I want to leave you with this question. What are you doing? Do you realize that what you're doing may be the very key of what God wants to use in your life? Hello? What are you doing? Peggy, you guys buy houses and fix them up and flip them. You run into all kinds of people. I'm wondering that if flipping houses might be an avenue for you to share Christ with people that come to the house. Invite them to church. You know, here's the least innocuous way to be a good evangelist. If you can't pray somebody through to Jesus Christ, invite them to church. We know how. We know how to pray them through. That was my whole method of evangelism. Get them to the pastor's house, 3 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't matter. Don't do that. That's not biblical. Get them to the church at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. But my whole point is, invite them to church. If you can't do it, invite them where it's being done. Amen? Same thing with your skills. I don't know. There's going to be an opportunity God's going to use whatever skills you have for the kingdom of God. And this is another thing. And last year we emphasized this, but I just want to remind you of this. Invest in yourself. Learn something new. Read a book. Go take a class at college or do something to get a better skill, get another skill, get something that's just, even if it's just a bless, and see if God doesn't use that skill for the kingdom. Hello? Some people miss out on what God wants them to do in service because they don't try to develop themselves. Do what you can do, leave the rest to God to do the rest. Hello? He'll equip you like you want you, but He's also expecting you to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? And so ultimately, this is what God's saying to us, and I'm going to ask you to stand because this is the end. Third end. So it's the third end. Oh, three, okay. No, let's stand, let's stand. Not just this group, all of us group. I want to end with this. I want you to read the rest of that chapter. The emphasis will be that the Holy Spirit is the one ministering all these gifts. And that should lead you to Romans. That should lead you to Ephesians and find out what the other gifts are. Because you have talents that God wants to use, you just don't know it. Some of you don't realize that some of the basic things that you know and understand, there are people in the kingdom that need that. Because they don't. There's some people don't know how to cook. Some people that don't even know how to sew an old sock. Does anybody darn socks anymore? No, you throw them away and go to Kmart, right? Or Walmart. My point is, there's lots of skills that you have that God wants to use. But ultimately, He wants to use it for dynamic move of God's Spirit. If there's people outside this church look at this church, I would love them to see this. Not only that Christ, that's the focus, but that this is a church that cares about people. And wherever they are, we want to meet them wherever they are. And I want to tell you, I'm proud of this church and for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I'm proud of this church is because many of the people in this church go out of their way to try to make a difference in people's lives in all manner of ways. And the other thing that emphasizes that is if I ever say there's a need in this church, you can't believe how well this little church responds. And I'm thinking Harley-Davidson right now, but I don't want to put the thoughts in your mind. But I do want to encourage you. You're so unique, and you've been designed so perfectly for what God has in mind for you. He has good thoughts. Have you ever seen the motto thing that's up here? He has good thoughts toward you. He has a purpose and a goal for you. He's just waiting for you to let Him help you get there. Some of you have achieved and arrived at some of that. Some of you have not yet. But when you do, you'll know what I'm talking about. It will empower you. You will live the Christian life easily when you realize the Holy Spirit's flowing through you. Amen? And you'll begin to understand God has had this in His mind all along to use you. Father, I love You this morning. I'm grateful for the Apostle Paul writing to a church that really did need some wisdom to it, Lord. They were just fanatics out of their minds. And Father, You gave them focus. The focus is, You're the one at work here, not us. You're the one in charge here, not us. You're the one to receive all the glory, not us. We're just those who You have redeemed, and we're so grateful to be saved that we want to do whatever we can to serve You, and that the purposes of the kingdom may be fulfilled by using us. It is Your will that we do. It is Your will that we serve. And so, Father, may we be faithful to serve where You call us and wherever You open an opportunity, that we might be a light shining, a face that can be put out for the community to see. When they look at this church, they see kind, loving, gentle people that want to accept anyone who comes through the doors. We bless You for that. We thank You for your goodness, Your richness, Your blessings. And may we give back in return for Your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let's give God a hand this morning. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Shake hands. Be friendly. Amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.